What originally we had down this evening was commentaries and then what's the big idea. Now, I decided for mainly reasons of workload to bump that back to next week because the big idea is a very important element and didn't want to give you the commentaries plus something else. Okay, so just a little note for homework that it's just the commentaries that you're doing. It's not the big idea, and I'll confirm that probably by email this week. What I wanted to do instead was just to introduce to you the whole idea of sermon components. Now, I know that we're used to listening to sermons and it just kind of comes together in a sort of a flow. But of course, there's actually various elements that make up a sermon. I'm just going to introduce these tonight. And I want to give you just an example of a typical structure, very simplistic structure. We will be putting this up on probably most weeks. We'll flash it up at some point and just show you what it is we're covering. Let me work through it for a minute or two and just briefly explain some of the different bits. And then we're going to do a more of a fun exercise, I think. Obviously, all sermons begin with introductions. Don't be deceived into thinking that an introduction is necessarily an illustration from the contemporary news. Even if you begin by saying, our reading this morning is from Ezekiel 27, let's read the passage, that's an introduction. It's a different kind of introduction from using an illustration, but it's an introduction. So the introduction obviously always begins the sermon. Sometimes the reading comes at the very beginning of the introduction, and sometimes the introduction whets the appetite for the reading. And again, it just depends what the passage is, what the idea is, how you need to do that. The big idea, usually, again, typically, the main theme for the sermon, what the sermon is essentially about, what the passage is essentially about, will be introduced pretty early on, at the end of your introduction. In fact, often the introduction is essentially raising the big idea and beginning to sort of show that forth. Big idea, we'll come to this next week, is usually just a succinct sentence that you formulate, which is what the sermon is about, the main theme in a sentence. And we'll come back to that, why that's important, whether that's important. Presuming that you use points in your sermon, and that is the more traditional way of doing things. So let's just go on that assumption for the moment. You have what you call main points in the sermon, and then you have subpoints of the main points. So if you come to Charlotte Chapel on a Sunday, you're familiar with this because you see it up in the PowerPoint, point one, point two. That's the main points of the sermon. One of the important things to mention here is that the main points flow out of the big idea. Okay, so if all of your main points don't relate to the big idea, then either your main points are the wrong main points or your big idea is not quite right. Okay, so the main points begin to unpack the big idea. In three sections, in two sections, or however many. So the main point. And a main point will usually cover a portion of the text. So main point one might be verses 1-4. Main point two might be verses 5-8. Main point three might be verses 9-11 or something like that. So the main point is a summary of a portion of text. And again, we're going to have a whole session on main points and subpoints. How do you formulate them? Okay, I've already mentioned subpoints. Again, this is just obvious logic, really. The subpoints unpack the main points. So you have a main idea, and then if you've got two subpoints, both of your subpoints should relate to that main idea. They should have some kind of connection. And if they don't, again, either your main idea is wrong, or your subpoints need to be tweaked a little bit. So this is just obvious sort of logical flow. Another way of saying it is that the main points and the subpoints and your unpacking of that is the explanation in the sermon. It's the explanation. These are sort of the typical terms that people use. After explanation, very often would come some kind of illustration. That might be a biblical illustration. This is often, if you listen to guys like John MacArthur, he tends to almost always use Old Testament illustrations or if he's in the Old Testament, New Testament, cross-references to bring out the point, the main point that's already been enumerated and unpacked. And this helps people to see in a more visual way, or maybe at a more heart level, to actually experience a bit more what the explanation, the intellectual component, has already been saying. And then typically, a main point would finish with an application. Certainly, it's hard to apply the passage until you've explained it, right? So you've got to say, here's what the text says. Here's what the text means, but now here's what the text means for you. So that almost always comes at the end of each point. And yet, we're going to see as well, sometimes this can be flipped around. Sometimes at the beginning of a point, you might give them a little taster of actually why this is relevant and begin to introduce a bit of the application, but then explain and apply it as you go. In some preaching, again, this is a more historical thing in a lot of the Puritans. They actually would explain the text first of all, and then have the end of the sermon on application, or the second half of the sermon. And again, there's no right or wrong way to do that. That's another possibility. This is typically what we do at the chapel. If you listen to Peter preach or myself preach, we tend to apply it as we go along, bearing in mind that a lot of people will not be tracking with you right to the end of the sermon for the little bit of application if they don't think it's relevant. You know, they've maybe switched off. So we try and apply the points as we go. And then you just do the same thing again. Main point two. Might have some sub-points for that. Let me just show you that this is a more of a flexible thing. You might flip around your application and illustration, for example. Okay, so you might explain the text pretty briefly. You might then challenge people with the text, and then you might give them a story that really drives home the point of the text and encourages people to do it. So there's different, you know, there's different ways of doing this. Sometimes you might begin your point with an illustration, right, to recapture people's attention. And maybe even to begin your explanation. So just to kind of show you that while there's a basic structure of explanation, illustration, application, it's interchangeable to some extent. And then obviously the conclusion of the sermon. And we'll be unpacking all of this and what conclusions should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing. Another thing that's just important to mention, and we might not really cover this too much in other places, is the importance of transitions. Transitions happen all the way through your sermon. Transitions are very simply the bridges between your intro and your big idea, between your big idea and your main point. They're a sentence, maybe, maybe just a couple of words, maybe a paragraph that links together what you're doing. So first of all, you know, we've seen that God is holy, and now we're going to see that God is powerful. That's an example of a transition. Reflecting back to where you've been and moving the sermon forward to the next point. And actually, this is a very, very important step for people following the clarity of your logic. Usually when preachers are unclear, amongst other things, it's because they don't work in transitions. And people just can't follow it. It just feels like it's moving all over the place. Any just initial questions about this? We're going to do a little exercise, but I just want to make sure everybody's tracking with what we're saying on this. Any comments or questions just on that?
Just a quick comment. A transition can be a good opportunity to focus people directly back on the text that you're preaching. And say if you're preaching verse 1 and you've brought it to an application, you've shown how it's relevant to them. A good transition might be, and having said this, this raises the question, and you ask a question. Hmm. Well, verse 2 answers that, and so yes, it leads you to your next point. Mm-hmm. And so a transition is a good opportunity to kind of summarize, but then get them to be thinking about tracking along with the scripture writer, not just you as in the sermon, but what question is going to be answered next. This may raise a question in your mind. If God is holy, what implications does that have for Isaiah and Isaiah chapter 6? Well, verse 3 answers that. It's a good transition that way. That's to not just point. Make it about the sermon outside of the Bible, but just keep firing them right back toward the text again and again. So transitions are good for that.
Yeah. I mean, again, we'll hopefully come to this in a little bit more depth later on, but as Tim says, all the way through, particularly your main points and your sub-points, that is where you are establishing the evidence for your main point, isn't it? You know, this is what the text says in verses 1 to 4. This is what it's about. Now I'm going to prove it to you. Look in your Bible at verse 1. Look in your Bible at verse 2. So we'll talk a little bit about that. There's a little formula people use, which is quite simple, which is state, place, and prove. State, here's what point 1 is. Place, look at verse 2 with me, right? This is where I'm getting it from. And then prove. There might be some further explanation. You know, this word means X, Y, or Z that confirms your interpretation. But we'll come back to some of that, but that's helpful.
You made a good point about how the main points ought to support your big idea. And if they don't support your big idea, they might be the wrong main points.
Yes.
How brutal are you about that? Like, do you accept you've got some real, like, important, significant diversionary thing from your main idea that the text brings up? Do you kind of skip over it? You're like, here's a complicated part of the verse, and we're not talking about that today, because that's not.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Today we're talking about, you know, God's attitude towards sin. This is about something else. So.
Yes. Well, I think that's where your sub-points come in very often. That some of that detail, you know, particular verses, particular issues, often comes through in a sub-point. But I actually think very often what happens is that the difficult verses or the unusual verse. I mean, I've got one for this Sunday. Everyone debates in Luke 21, 32. This generation, none of them are going to see death before the Son of Man comes. Now, it's easy to make that huge when, in the text, it's one of 31 verses. So I actually find sometimes it's the opposite problem of trying to keep that down to scale. What I would say is if your main point does not in some way include that sub-issue, then you've probably not got the right main point. The verses underneath the main point have to show evidence for the main point. So I think that is pretty important. And if it doesn't seem to fit, if that verse just doesn't seem to fit at all with your main point, there's something wrong with your main point. We're going to do something now, which I hope will work. But if it doesn't, it'll be fun. We're going to listen to a sermon, hopefully, and I guess in a slightly different way. It's only 20 minutes long. It's a guy called Warren Wiersbe, who is a very clear preacher, funny guy as well, but does get to the heart of the text. And what I've done is I've put together some PowerPoint slides so that as we listen to it, I'm hopefully going to put up on the screen what the part of the sermon is. So as we're listening to it, you might see up in the screen illustration, right? Or you might see sub-point 2 or something like that, okay? I want you just to start thinking about these sermon components and kind of stop viewing a sermon as you've traditionally perhaps done it, as just a flow of words, right? Start to think about what are the component parts? What's he doing in that part of the sermon? Ah, that's a transition, right? So we need to become familiar with these terms.